Welcome to the Journeys in Business podcast. I'm Jess, owner of Jess Creatives. This podcast is here to inspire and empower you as I talk with other entrepreneurs about their journey in business. Let's get into the show.
Hey, Katie, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So to start us off, why don't you tell us about yourself and your business?
Sure. So my name is Katie Hunt, and I am the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp. And we help creative entrepreneurs build profitable, sustainable businesses. And we primarily focus on helping product makers sell wholesale, create a wholesale program, and then also exhibiting at trade shows is another area of expertise that we have.
And how did you get into that? You didn't always do this, correct?
No. I have a background in business. I worked in the corporate world for about 14 years doing business development and marketing for attorneys.
Nice.
Yeah, I was essentially helping them build their own individual brands and their own areas of expertise and practices. So marketing, I've been bringing in new clients. And in 2008, I started my own stationery line, mostly out of a need I had. It's a common story in the stationery world. I was getting married and we wanted to create our own wedding invitations. And I also did some personalized note cards for my bridesmaids. And from that, I had a lot of other friends getting married that wanted help and note cards. And so I started this business on a whim. And, you know, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do it big. So I then decided I wanted to start wholesaling straight away. And I exhibited at the National Stationery Show about 6 months after starting my business and launched to the wholesale market and fell on my face quite a few times. But I also learned a ton along the way and met some wonderful people. And we really, I looked around in my industry and I saw that most of my friends and colleagues were amazing, talented artists. They were, you know, had gone to art school and were trained, and they struggled with the business side of things. And I was self-taught in art, struggling with Illustrator and other things. And I, you know, the business side was comfortable for me. And so I just thought, let's get everybody together and I'll help you with my strengths and you'll help me with your strengths. And together we can, you know, grow these businesses.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been pretty incredible. So that was in 2011 that I started Bootcamp, and it came out of just a need of like, let's help each other out. And now 6 years later, we've done in-person conferences. We're hosting our 10th in-person conference coming up.
What?
And I know, we do e-courses and we've done a lot of coaching one-on-one too. It's been incredible. It's been really amazing. We've had a lot of very talented people come through as speakers at Bootcamp to really pay it forward and share their expertise. So it's been amazing. It's very much a community pay it forward feel.
Yeah. Do you still have your line?
I do. I do. It's not, I don't wholesale it anymore. I still have a number of licensing partnerships that I'm involved in. So I had to make some tough decisions when we knew we were having our fourth baby earlier this year, that four babies and two businesses was just not gonna work. So
yeah. When will Katie sleep?
Yeah, exactly. Which leads me to an answer for one of your next coming up questions too. But I had to make a decision of, you know, okay, we're not gonna sell my line is called Kelp Designs, and we're not gonna sell that through the wholesale channels anymore. So we're still doing our licensing partnerships, but my focus now is primarily on Trade Show Bootcamp.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah,
so what is your favorite part about what you do?
It's really the community. I mean, and also helping the students strategize for next steps in their business. I love brainstorming. I love the big picture planning. And so talking things out and hearing about what their struggles are and then kind of helping them determine some action steps that they can take to either like hit that straight on or like rework what they're doing. It's just really satisfying. And obviously, you know, I'm just playing a very small part in this whole process. They have to go and do the hard work, but knowing that they trust me enough and that I can help them. I'm very much a solutions person. I like to brainstorm. I like to, you know, it's probably a fault of mine actually too, because I go into problem solving mode instead of just listening mode, but it's fun for me. And I think that there's always a solution for things, you know, any problem that you just need to kind of think differently about it and also not beat ourselves up when things don't go exactly as we have planned in our head.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. How did you start building your community? Because you kind of started this before Facebook groups. Very much a big thing.
Yeah, we did. It was 2011 when we started at the very beginning, and it's I kind of feel like I'm making myself sound like an old lady when I tell you this, but we started with 4 teleconference calls. Like,
oh,
we
nice.
Start with like webinars or face-to-face, anything. Like, we started with 4 teleconference calls. We all got on, and I found this fancy system that people could raise their hands and I could unmute them. Like, it feels like, you know, it feels like ancient technology now, but at the time it was awesome because we could really have these conversations amongst ourselves. And so, it was tough. We did, Facebook was around then, and groups were just getting started. And so we did have a private Facebook group that's now been active for 6 years.
Nice. And
the conversations are incredible. I mean, the amount of information that's archived in that group. I always tell all of our new students when they come, I said, you have to, like, I explained how the search feature works. Because there's so much wonderful information in there from, you know, years prior. And
yeah.
We'll resurrect different conversations too, you know, and add new information or new ways of doing things. So it's been pretty great.
That's really, how many people are in that Facebook group?
It's about 450 because we keep our conferences and courses pretty small because we want people to really be able to ask their questions. And not everybody's on Facebook either.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've coached over 650 small businesses or individuals, but I'd say about 400 are in the group right now.
That's a good size because then people can still ask questions and be seen, be heard. Because sometimes these groups with like 35,000 people, it's like they ask a question and it just disappears.
Yeah, totally. And the relationships too. Yeah. I'm a firm believer that business is built on real authentic relationships. And when you're involved in, I say smaller, but 400 people still not that small, you know, but you have a better opportunity to get to know people and to find out more about their story, not just their business, but their personal lives too. And so you can really connect with people that way.
Yeah, that's really cool. So what would you say is your big why? What drives you?
Bootcamp is centered around 3 keywords, education, collaboration, and community. That's really been the core of what we're about since we started this in 2011. And the last one being the biggest motivator, community aspect. So again, like I mentioned before, we've really fostered a pay it forward mentality. Everyone participates, everyone contributes, everyone receives, and we all thrive. You know, what somebody's going through right now in their business, you know, there's going to be people ahead of them that have already been through that. And there's going to be people behind them that aren't quite ready for that. And so just recognizing too, that everybody and being respectful of everybody in their different phase of their business, has been really rewarding. But I would say that the bootcamp community is a direct result of the amazing people that have been involved. The speakers that have lent their time and expertise and their experiences, sharing their stories, as well as the students that have come through with their own unique set of experiences and shared their stories. So I would say that it's the community and the people involved in bootcamp that are really my motivators. And two, I'm constantly thinking of how can we serve these people more? You know, as some of our alumni have, you know, the people that were in the first teleconference calls before we moved to online conference or online courses and conferences, you know, they're in a different phase now. So they have struggles, and maybe, you know, scaling the business is where they are. And so trying to find solutions for them and give them the help they need so that they can still stay engaged in our bootcamp community, but still get the help they need.
Yeah, that's really cool that the, you know, we all have something to learn, but there's also, it's like when people say there are people who don't know what you know, even if you've only been in business for 6 months.
Totally.
The person who has not even started doesn't know what you know, which is a big reason that I do this podcast, because there's like, I learn from all my people that I interview, because like there's so many different industries and so many different people that I'm talking to. And it's like, we all have something to learn from each other, whether we're in different industries or the same industry, 6 months, 6 years, like.
Absolutely. I agree with you. In fact, when I kick off every PaperCamp conference, I always tell these guys, like, we're sitting in a room full of 30 people, and I tell them, I'm going to learn just as much as you will this weekend. because you're constantly learning new things. And I really do enjoy learning. You mentioned other industries. I really enjoy talking to people outside of my creative entrepreneurial world because they're using different systems. They're using different processes. They think about things from a different point of view that is still super valuable. And, and so it's really motivating for me to talk to people outside of my, you know, my immediate industry for that.
Yeah. That's really, I think it's important to like reach out to other, cause it gives a good perspective on our industry and our business.
Yeah.
Like when I, cause I work with a lot of creative entrepreneurs, but working like last year, I worked with some lawyers, like a firm, and I did their website, and it was very different.
Oh, very different.
Like the design is different, but just like working with them was
different. Oh yeah, the process and the workflow and all of it's different.
Keeps me on my toes when I work with these different industries. But I think that's good for us to branch out with clients and just talking to people or learning from other people.
Absolutely. I mentioned that I started in law firms for many years, and I joke that boot camp is a really nice hybrid between the experience I had working with those attorneys and helping them essentially build individual businesses.
Yeah.
And then my love for the paper world and the stationery world. And you know, boot camp's this hybrid of like my two worlds merging. Everyone always asks, what do you want for 5 years from now? And it's like, I never would have pictured that this is what I'd be doing now. And I just feel so grateful that I get to do work I love with people I adore every single day, you know?
And that's the best. So,
being open to those opportunities and learning from different industries and different people is amazing.
Yeah. So if you could go back to when you first started and tell yourself something, what would you tell yourself?
So, you know, you prime me with these questions, which I appreciate it. But there were two things I wanted to say. So when I started both of my businesses, I was still working at a day job.
Mm-hmm.
I was still working full time. And so the first thing is I want to encourage people to think about the day job in a different way. Your day job isn't a hindrance to you in growing this business. And I, at the time when I was in it, I thought it absolutely was. You know, I dreaded having to balance my passion project of my business and the full intense day job that I had and my children, my growing family. So, but I look back now and I am so grateful that I had that day job when I was building this business, because it afforded me a lot of opportunities to grow this business in ways that I wouldn't have been able to do.
Yeah. If
this was my full-time gig. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time I had two businesses, so I was going to a trade show, which was very expensive. And I was redoing my website, which was very expensive. And if I hadn't had the day job to help make sure my family was taken care of, I probably wouldn't have been able to invest that money coming into my business back into the business as readily as I did.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of changing your point of view and changing your mindset around the day job being a drag and keeping you away from your passion, think of it as a tool to get to your passion faster, to get to your ideal place faster.
I love that. I love that.
Cool. And then the second thing I wanted to say is and this is kind of tied to that, but it's a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think we look around, especially in today's day and age of Instagram and everything else, and we look around and we see these people that look like overnight successes. You know, they come out with one product or one course or, you know, one service, and it's like, oh my God, everybody's wanting to work with them or buy it. And I'll tell you right now, there is no such thing as an overnight success, even the people that look like they might have been. And so just, I want to encourage people to stay focused, to work hard and to nurture your audience.
Yeah.
And success will come from that. I think, you know, again, everybody wants to get out of that day job. They want to make this business a full-time gig and self-sustaining and all these things. And you will get there, but you need to be patient. And
yes.
Try to remember that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes. I was watching a replay of a webinar earlier, and she was talking about how she'd like changed these things in her business.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because she's makes a ton of money, kind of an influencer. And for me, like, I didn't really think she was an overnight success, but it was like an over the month. it didn't take like a year, but, or at least, you know, it was like, wait, like, oh yeah, like I know her. And then all of a sudden she was everywhere. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about like, well, I did this and then I did this And then I did that. And it was like, she went on a journey. It wasn't overnight, but she also tweaked and tried new things.
Yeah.
And I think that's all part of the journey. It's just, you have to trial and error, try new things, and keep growing as a business owner.
I 100% agree with you. I know that you're an action-based person too. That you'll throw things to the wall and see if they stick. And
yes.
That is how I'm a planner. I am definitely a planner and I like to look at the strategy, but at the same time, I will throw things to the wall and see if they stick. And if they don't, if they fall down, I will look at them again and see what worked, what didn't, try again and do it again. But you're never going to know until you try something.
Yep.
And I think too, what a lot of people fall down on is that they try to do too much. Like we were talking about before, of they try to, you know, get their Facebook ads and their Instagram feed and their email newsletters and their sales funnels, and they want to have 10 courses and they, you know, slow down.
Just try one thing. Just
slow down. Focus on your blog, or focus on your, you know, YouTube channel, or focus on your course creation or whatever it might be. But then, you know, do that and do it really well and get it to the point that it's going really, really well for you. Mm-hmm. And then leverage that content elsewhere.
Yeah.
If you're doing a YouTube channel, you know, turn that into a blog post or turn it into a podcast, or, you know, there's different ways to do that. But I think we get so caught up in trying to do all the things and saying yes to everything, thinking that it will get us ahead and get us that next batch of clients, that it takes away the focus.
Yeah.
And you can't do everything. It's just not
possible. It's not possible.
It's not possible.
Is there anything that you wish you had done differently since you started your business?
My Achilles heel is that I don't say no often enough. And in doing so, and by saying yes too often, I'm stretching myself thin. And that doesn't help me personally. That doesn't help my business. It doesn't help my family. And so, I would say that I am working hard on saying no to the, or even maybe not right now, to the opportunities that are just not the right fit for me. And yeah. So when I say not the right fit, I mean that I've set aside some specific goals for myself that tie in my family and finances and personal life, or personal time rather. And so if these opportunities don't fit enough of the bins and check boxes, so to speak, then I have to say no, and or not right now. And it's been really difficult for me, but going back to that focus thing we were just talking about, it allows me to do a better job at the things I am doing. And I am then a happier person, and I'm a better mom, and I'm a better business owner. And it's trying to say no, which it sounds so negative, but it's really, you know, there's that adage of, you know, saying no lets you say yes to the correct things.
And
I think that's hard. On the flip side too, I'm trying to ask for help more often too, especially in my personal life, of accepting help, or, you know, when it's offered, or just asking for it. So,
Do you outsource quite, you have contractors. I know this, I am one.
Yes, you are.
So how did you, because that helps you stay focused and organized and stuff. So how did you get started? Like, how did you get started with outsourcing? Because, I mean, I haven't outsourced anything. I'm trying, but it's hard to let go.
It's hard to let go of the control, especially when you've been doing everything yourself for so long and you feel like nobody could do it the same way or better or different. That, you know, like you want to control the process too, as well as the outcome. And so I think, who was my first hire? I think it was a graphic designer actually who helped me with my branding. She's a good friend of mine. She helped with the branding and the site when we redid it in 2013. And I've since slowly added more and more people. I have actually in my, if you go to my website and click on courses, it'll link you out to where I have a few courses, and we have a free one about deciding what to delegate. It's a class that a master class I did with Heather Crabtree.
Nice.
The Savvy Experience. And, at the Savvy Experience, I talked all about hiring and how it's not one size fits all. And you can really hire people in different roles, part-time, independent contractors, you know, a few hours a month or whatever it might be. I think a lot of people get hung up on, oh my gosh, I have to hire somebody full-time and I have to have payroll and I have to have benefits. And oh my gosh, like I can't decide on healthcare for myself, let alone somebody else, you know? And that's not the case at all. You can hire people for, you know, a handful of hours a month on pay hourly, or you can have a retainer. There's lots of different ways to do it. But in terms of drilling down to what you should be outsourcing, that class is a great primer and a great first start to kind of help you think through different ideas and concepts. So I'd encourage people to go there. But for me personally, you know, it was a matter of necessity. Yeah. I've got 4 kids. My oldest one's 6 years old. The baby's 5 months now. And so it was just, I can't do it all. You know, if we're going to execute these events to the quality and caliber that I want, I need to bring on help. If these e-courses are going to go well and people are really going to get the value out of them they need, I need to bring on help because I can't be the person touching everything. Yeah. I think my second hire was my bookkeeper. So that helped a lot.
No one wants to touch their books.
No, and I love numbers. I look at those reports all the time. And a little bit like, oh my God, Katie, really?
So,
but at the same time, like, I don't need to be the one in there categorizing everything. And, you know, once they get the hang of what, you know, it gets to be an easy project. Yeah. And then I started with a virtual assistant who kind of did a mix of everything, research projects and travel stuff, birthday presents for the kids, you know, different things like that. But it's really about, in my opinion, finding the areas where you're either weak and somebody else is strong, or it's just not something that is worth your time. I guess that's not the best way to put it. But if I can be doing coaching work, or I can be doing work at a higher rate and pay somebody a lower rate to handle things and they'll do a great job, then it makes more sense for me to outsource that. I give the example, one time I was on a coaching call and the VA had ordered groceries. I get groceries delivered here too.
Nice.
And the VA had ordered a birthday present for one of the kids, and I had ordered groceries ahead of time. And so while I was sitting here on the coaching call, the groceries are delivered and the present was delivered. And I felt like, wow, like I just saved myself hours of going to the grocery store. And
this is like true multitasking.
Yeah. And it sounds so luxurious, but it's, you know,
it's
I spent an extra $10 maybe for the groceries, and Amazon Prime is free. So it's just,
there you go.
It's a matter of leveraging the things that are available to you. So.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Cause this is going to sound funny, but I'm a designer. I just reached out to someone earlier this week about designing all my graphics.
Yeah.
My social media, because I have like my blog post graphics, my video graphics, my Instagram graphics. And like they're all templates. It's just like I fill in like the blog post title and whatnot. Yeah. And it was like, this is weird. Like I'm a designer and I'm going to outsource.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's so hard to design for yourself. And somebody else is going to bring a different set of eyes, a different perspective to it. So they'll articulate your vision in a different way, which.
Yeah. And they're all templates. Like it's almost like a VA job.
Yeah. I was going to say that sounds more like a VA job a little bit,
but it's just like, you can do little things. And earlier this summer I hired a VA just for a one-off project.
Good.
I think a lot of people also think, well, if I hire a VA, like, I'm going to have to hire them for 6 months or a year, and maybe not all VAs will do this, but I just hired one to help me change up some stuff on my blog that I was like super easy, but it's time consuming and my time would be better spent on client work, not going through my 100+ blog posts.
Right.
So it's,
that's so true. I agree with you. I always recommend people start with a project with somebody. The other thing is, I really hate the term virtual assistant because I hear the term virtual assistant thrown around quite a bit, and people say, I'll just give it to a VA. Here's the thing. Just like you and I, virtual assistants have different areas of expertise. Some of them are amazing at social media. Some of them are great at email marketing. Some are great with graphic design. So, you know, whatever type of help you find, whoever it is, like, you want to find an expert in the area that you need help. And so I do have a number of people that work for me, but they're in very specific roles. They handle very specific things for the business. And so, again, rather than trying to find one person that's a generalist, that's a jack of all trades, maybe you end up hiring a couple of people in different roles that you need to fill, and they just have less hours or know, you work out an arrangement that works for you and them. But
yeah,
I'm a big fan of hiring people that are smarter than me. And that way they can help teach me along the way.
Yes.
Always learning, remember?
Yes, that's the goal. Always learning.
Yeah.
So what's coming up next? What's on your plate for 2017?
Oh gosh, so much on the plate for 2017. But one thing that we're working through right now is we're announcing the dates for our next Paper Camp conference.
Yay.
It's going to be, I know, I'm very excited. It'll be number 10. It'll be our 10th Paper Camp that we've hosted. And it'll be at the end of February. And so we only have about 25 seats open for this one. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. So if anyone's interested, they can check that out at tradeshowcamp.com/papercamp.
That's so cool. Yay.
I know.
I wish I was, you know, maybe I should start a stationery line just so.
There you go. Yeah, I guess I should also clarify that's for product makers in the stationery and gift industry that are interested in wholesale or exhibiting at trade shows. And we take you through, it's a very action-based 2 days. It's kind of intense, but we have also a lot of time for networking and one-on-one time. And
yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun, but we also make people put in the work. So
I'm seeing the pictures and it looks really fun.
Oh, thank you.
And it looks, you like your events all set up nice. I mean, of course, because it's you, and I know you, it's not just like, hey, we're gonna sit in this conference room all day. But
yeah, I know, I was just talking with somebody that was interested in hosting events the other day and conferences style. Yeah. You know, and they were like, oh, I don't want to do it at a hotel because I don't want to be in a boring conference room. And I was like, I get that, but there's hotels out there that have awesome conference space, and ours in particular has an indoor and outdoor option. So
oh,
we
nice.
Do a lot outside when we can, and we eat all of our meals outside. And, but doing it at a hotel or a venue that does events like that is so beneficial because they have the staff and know-how, and like,
yes.
It's just one less thing, less decisions you have to make.
Less decisions, the better.
Yeah. Because venue sites where it's just a blank canvas, you have to bring in the tables and decor and stage and like all these things. And so anyhow,
Well, where can we connect with you online?
Yeah. So Trade Show Bootcamp is at tradeshowcamp.com. So no boot in the URL. And we're Trade Show Camp everywhere on social too. Instagram's our jam. That's where we hang out most. But we're also on Facebook and Twitter. And actually, a fun fact, all of the bootcamp speakers in our first cohort, and even many that are still involved now, I met them on Twitter in 2008.
Nice.
I was starting my stationery line. And so it goes to show, like, even though social media platforms change over time, like, there are real things happening there and real relationships being built. And so it's kind of a fun thing. But we're Trade Show Camp everywhere, tradeshowcamp.com and Trade Show Camp on social too.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today. This was
absolutely fun. Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. You can also watch these interviews on my YouTube channel if that's more your style. I'd love to connect with you on social media at Jess Creatives or on my website, jesscreatives.com.